You are listening to Inverse Autarky, the Atari 8-Bit Productivity Podcast, Season 7, Episode 7. Overview.
Welcome, I'm your host Wade, and this episode features cut and paste. No, not the Command-C and Command-V, or even Control-C and Control-V, depending upon which world you live in. I'm talking back before those keystrokes were invented with a program titled Cut and Paste, which happens to use Control-C and Control-P for those operations. And hey, P makes more sense than V, doesn't it? Where and why did we get V as paste? Oh well, on to the software. This software is a word processor. It is self-touted as a remarkably simple word processor. Here is a quick blurb from the package front cover. Until quite recently, we used pens and paper and typewriters to write with, mostly because we knew how to use them. They're good tools, but rather slow and cumbersome. You tend to make mistakes with them, and getting rid of those mistakes makes extra work. Cut and paste is an inexpensive and practical alternative. Because you can learn to use it in several minutes, you really will use it. And that fact alone may make it the first sensible word processor for the home. A little bit about the publisher here. Electronic Arts is the publisher, and this is the first time one of their wares has made it onto the show. That's largely because they're a game developer. So here is a bit of history. Electronic Arts is an American video game company headquartered in Redmond City, California, founded on May 27, 1982 by Apple employee Trip Hawkins, who worked for Apple from 1978. Trip made a personal investment into Electronic Arts, which is estimated to be around $200,000. The original name of the company was Amazon Software, and that's Amazon without a G, and instead having an apostrophe. By November of 1982, the company had grown to a size of 11 employees, and the company name was universally disliked, and it was thus renamed. They initially wanted to name it SoftArt because they were going to write software and saw the programmers and designers as artists. So, software artists. And because Trip knew the founders of Software Arts, they asked permission to use the name SoftArt. Dan Bricklin of the VisiCalc fame didn't want the name to be used because it was too similar to theirs. Trip and company liked how the United Artists had created a great reputation and liked the word electronic as well, so they came up with Electronic Artists. But with opposition from Steve Hayes, citing that they were not the artist, the programmers were, they shifted again, this time to Electronic Arts. All during these initial months, only the business plan was being worked on. Trip recruited the original employees from Apple, Atari, Xerox PARC, and VisiCorp, and got Steve Wozniak to sit on the board of directors. One thing to note is the square packaging that all the titles came in. The square package came from relating the software artist to musical artists, and thus was modeled after album covers. Electronic Arts routinely included pictures of their software designers with the software packaging, and they are credited as having the first video game advertisement featuring the software designers.
This was the We See Farther advertisement. Check out the Inverse Autarky website for an image.
Electronic Arts was a pioneer in the early home computer game industry and notably promoted the designers and programmers responsible for its games as software artists, as previously mentioned. This was in stark contrast to other companies who gave no credit to the authors. EA published numerous games and some productivity software for the personal computers, all of which were developed by external individuals or groups, until 1987, when they started bringing it in-house. Today, EA has titles appearing on self-developed Origin online gaming platform and owns and operates game studios including DICE, Motive, BioWare, and Respawn.
Technical data.
Cut and Paste was released in 1983, again by Electronic Arts. The programmers were Tim Mott, Steve Hayes, Norm Lane, David S. Maynard, Jerry Morrison, Steve Shaw, and Dan Silva. The software does not require the basic cartridge. The disk was copy protected. It requires 48K of memory, and the price was $50. Today, that price is $152.05. The manual was written by David Grady with design by Rodney's Design Services. It is 16 pages cover to cover. It's black and white, staple bound, and measures 7¾ by 7¾. It is extremely well written, covering all the functions in a manner new computer users can easily understand, and it often gives scenarios where something is useful. There's a full error guide as well, and how to respond to each of those. It gives you some of the keyboard shortcuts, but you'll need the helper card to know them all. As far as packaging is concerned, the package is heavy cardstock, full-color folder with a disc insert on the inside back cover, very similar to the album cover as mentioned. It measures 8¾ by 8¾, which is a little smaller than an album cover, but it's befittingly for the software. The art follows EA Home Management cover art formats from other titles, and the package sleeve has 6 full-color faces. The extra 2 faces that make up 6 come in the form of a page inside the cover. Notably, on this page is a picture of the author sitting around an old Linotype machine. The cover art is attributed to Goodby, Berlin, and Silverstein. They spent some time and money making this look good, so I'll spend some time trying to describe only the front and the rear. On the front cover, there is a large beige box with a double line black outline. Inside the box, centered at the top, it reads cut and paste.
Period.
Under that, in small text, it reads the remarkably simple word processor. The author's credits appear in a slightly larger font below that and spread across 3 lines. Beneath that is a paragraph of text describing the product, which I read in the overview, and beneath that paragraph is a square picture box with a large black older typewriter with a page coming out of it. There are some robotic-looking arms coming out of either side of the typewriter and perhaps one coming from the back. The arm on the right has a pair of scissors and is cutting the paper. The arm on the left is holding an inkwell, and that third arm, perhaps from the rear, has a brush on it, which is near the inkwell. There is a man in a trench coat with his arms folded behind his back, standing on the top row of the keys and facing away from you. In the bottom left is the Electronics Arts name and logo, both appearing in black. The rear cover has a similar format with the beige box. Inside the box, centered at the top, it reads, "How it works."
Period.
Beneath that is a thin double-line divider with 3 columns. In the middle column are 2 screenshots, the top one showing the disc catalog and the lower one showing the editing screen. At the bottom of the third column, the electronics name and blue logo appear.
He means Electronic Arts name and logo. Humans are so error-prone.
In the left and right columns are 6 paragraphs. Within the paragraphs are 3 callouts to the screenshots denoted by red lines that draw attention to some specific details.
Usage notes.
When booting the program, you get the familiar EA splash screen, which is light white background and graphics 7 maybe, and the EA logo centered, which cycles slowly through gradients of blue. Once the program is loaded, the screen is set to graphic 0, which is the normal text, with the background dark green and the text being yellow. Across the top, centered in a line of inverse video, the title is displayed as Cut and Paste Word Processor, in all caps. A copyright of 1983 appears in the middle of the screen, and at the bottom of the screen is another inverse video line, which has 3 menu options. Drive 1, Drive 2, and Format Disk. The menu options will change depending upon what function you are performing while using the program. Using menus throughout involves pressing Escape to activate the menu and choosing the option with the arrow keys and then pressing Return to activate it. You can also press Escape again to deactivate the menu. Choosing Drive 1 or Drive 2 options at the title screen will open a catalog of that disk, which is where you start, always, even for a blank document. On the catalog screen, the top inverse line changes to Catalog of Documents. A number on the far right of that line tells you how many 1K blocks are left on the disk. For a 90K disk with no documents, that will be 87. To edit a new document, you must navigate to the catalog item that is titled Blank. You press Escape, then choose Load. Now you can edit a new document. Strange that you have to load a new document, but that's the way it is. If you wanted to load an existing document, just select it instead, and the title bar will change to say Editing Blank, where blank would be the name of the file you chose to load. With an empty document on a 64K machine, you have 19,443 bytes of free space for your document, and at 2K per page, that's about 9 pages. Here are some of the program features: auto word wrap, auto page numbering, page headers, block operations, copy and paste, and cut. There's paragraph indent at 5 spaces. You have a page eject. There's tab stop support and automatic widow and orphan control. And for those that don't know, a widow is considered to be the last line of a paragraph printed on top of the next page, and an orphan is considered to be the first line of a paragraph printed at the bottom of the previous page. The other feature which we've touched on is the document catalog or disk directory, and no matter the document size, you can only have 63 documents per disk. And there's an included micro DOS which allows you to copy, rename, delete files, and format new disks. And the format new disk is more like a disk prep. The data disks are tagged and the program does check for it. Aside from the features, there is a small set of preferences you can set, and the one you'll primarily be interested in is display columns. This defaults to 38, and you probably want to set it to 40. This is saved to the document disk and affects all documents on that disk, as do the other preferences. The editor itself is easy to use, and you can learn the entire program very quickly. It's very simple and sparse of commands, including formatting commands. When printing, you have 3 choices for page layout, and they are called A, B, and C within the program. The A option is pre-formatted for a standard 8.5 by 11 inch page with 1 inch margins all around. The B option is for standard envelopes of 9.5 inches by 4 3/8 inches with a half inch margin all around. And the C option is a custom definition for you to make up. You can also customize each one should you feel the need. And personally, I don't like documents with a 1 inch margin all around, so I automatically go and set this to half inch on any document that I work on. From a program perspective, there isn't a whole lot more to talk about. This is your basic no-frills word processor. I would talk about files, but the disk is copy protected and it's in a proprietary format. The VTOC has been relocated, so conventional DOSes can't see the files, and in fact the other DOSes don't recognize the disk format either.
Fun factoids.
We have a few fun facts. First of all, the manual states that the disk are pretty sturdy and don't often fail. It does give a backup strategy, which involves saving your work twice, once on your data disk and once on your backup disk. And this could get out of sync in a hurry, and I'd recommend doing a whole disk copy weekly or monthly instead. Second, there's a quick plug for EA's financial cookbook in the error section for the error, sorry, wrong type of document. Quote, you've accidentally tried to load a document prepared with another Electronic Arts home management program. Financial cookbook, maybe? End quote. The next, the software was also available for the Apple II, Commodore 64, IBM PC, and IBM PC Junior. And last, in the UK, this was distributed by Ariolasoft. I guess I pronounced that right.
Summary.
I had been looking for cut and paste since roughly 2017, and I couldn't find a copy. The Vent Nerd recently posted a picture of cut and paste, and that prompted me to ask him to get the disc imaged and for me to look for it once again. As it turns out, Atari Mania now has an image, at least of the program disc, that appears to have been added in 2021. Yes, I don't check for things frequently enough, apparently. I was excited to try this software out because Electronic Arts software has a quality reputation, and you can thank the Vent Nerd for renewing my interest in this title. Using the program is pretty simple, and learning it is just as simple. While editing, I couldn't find a way to disable the insert mode, though, or to delete a block of text without stowing it into the paste buffer. Luckily, adding text, even at the beginning of a large document, is speedy, and the only time I noticed any speed degradation whatsoever was during large cuts, but even then it was only a second or so. The most notable thing to mention is the lack of formatting features. You essentially have indent and unindent, a header and page numbering. With so few commands, you can see why it's easy to learn. However, this prevents you from crafting documents that need serious customization. So think simple letters only, like ones to friends or family. You don't get double columns, there's no centering, no printer control codes, nothing. The only way you'll be able to print out something at other than 10 characters per inch is to set your printer to that desired mode, such as 12 characters per inch, then tell Cut and Paste to use 12 characters per inch, which it will use for word wrap, widow, and orphan calculations. The inclusion of even some simple formatting like centering and bold would have gone a long way to make this a serious competitor to other word processor offerings of the time, but it is nice that they included several different preset page layouts for printing. This could ease the burden of printing many types of documents, especially those pesky envelopes. While working with cut and paste, I kept trying to imagine doing some of the same high school and college papers I did back in the day using Atari Writer and SpeedScript. With no formatting controls, it would be impossible to replicate some of those because I did use double columns on occasion, and I often used centering, bold, expanded print, and subscripts. That level of formatting just isn't present here. Overall, I thought the program was executed well. Most any error you could generate is captured, and for the features it has, it does perform well. It's just not enough to be a serious contender against other word processors of that time or any time. The use of a proprietary disk format prevents it from being useful as even a basic text editor as well. So don't think you're going to use it to code stuff. But if you are looking for a dead simple word processor, this has your name written all over it. What do I like about this word processor? Well, first, it's super simple to use. No, really, your grandmother or your child could easily use this. And I guess the other thing I would say is they included the ability to see what is in the paste buffer without having to paste it. And you can empty this buffer at will. And as a bonus, the buffer is retained between document loads, so you can copy and paste between documents, and that's a nice touch. For example, some other programs of the time, you would have to save whatever you wanted to copy to another document out to another file, and then merge that file into the other document. What did I dislike about cut and paste? First, the form eject or page control. In order to do this, you have to enter 5 dashes to signify you want a new page. However, if you want to put in 5 dashes on, say, a column header that you are manually formatting, it's going to throw off your formatting of the entire page by sending out an eject. Next, saving document settings. This does so for all documents on the same disk, which I guess if you're just doing basic letters, it might be okay, but for overall, I prefer to have them on an individual document basis. And last, I don't like how the multiple drives are handled. So what I mean by that is when you select drive 2, all the operations that you perform are on drive 2 until you specify another drive. So if you have drive 2 configured, you can't reference anything on drive 1 until you go select drive 1. From a 1983 perspective, would I use it? Probably not. The lack of any formatting controls prevent any useful work. From a retro perspective, would I use it? No. It's far too simple. Again, the lack of any formatting commands really holds it back. For a bit rating, I'm going to give this a 5. It works well, it's easy to use, but the lack of any formatting really prevents it from being useful for anything other than a letter to your mom or a friend. And the proprietary disk format prevents usage for even things like code editing or basic text editing.
Special thanks.
First, I want to thank the Vent Nerd for revitalizing my interest in this product. Next, I want to thank EA for their contributions to the early computing platforms, including the Atari 8-bit. And last but not least, I want to thank you for continuing to listen and support this endeavor of a podcast. Thanks all. Next, I want to thank EA for their continued contributions to the computer...
Goodbye.